Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today.
On this episode of A&M Conversation With, Managing Director Dr. David Gruber from our healthcare industry group sits down with President and CEO of Canary Health, Dr. Adam Kaufman, to discuss sustainable patient behavior change and the importance of an engaged individual in clinical care.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kaufman, for joining us today. I'd like to begin with a definition. How do you define patient engagement?
First, David, let me just say what a pleasure it is to join you. Appreciate the opportunity to share thoughts on a topic so important to me, patient engagement and self-management. It's a tricky word to define or concept to define in patient engagement. I prefer to start with what I think is an easier way to think about it, which is defining what an engaged patient means. And I think if we think about it that way, it's much cleaner that what we're talking about is someone who is actively engaged in their own health, has what matters to them at the center of what they're doing, and actively thinking about how that's important for the outcomes that matter to them. And so that concept of an engaged patient is what we're really thinking about when we think about patient engagement. When it becomes tricky, that definition is we're trying to use patient engagement as a thing we're doing to or with an individual. And it's meant, I think, often to describe a set of services that a health system or a health plan could provide. And so it's a little bit less clear what that is. I would define it as the support, the tools, the interventions that we provide to help people become engaged in their health.
And why is it so difficult to achieve?
It's difficult to achieve because being a patient or someone with a chronic condition is only one part and often a small part of someone's life. And so people are engaged in their lives, right? They're actively thinking about what matters to them. They're actively going to work. They're actively with their family. And so if you think about, you know, someone's life as a story, that character, to use that metaphor of health, is often not the most important character in their life. And so to ask them to engage with that character, to direct that character in a meaningful way, is hard when it's challenged for the energy that they're talking about their finance or their love life or their family or a host of other things. And so part of why it's been hard is we haven't helped put health as something in your life on par with the other things that matter and help someone understand how all of it interacts to give them the happiness, the outcomes, and the success in their life that they want.
And we've heard a lot about digital health. Why hasn't it had a greater impact?
I'm often reminded, our chief product officer and a good friend of mine used to work for Microsoft, and Bill Gates had a saying that I think he's famous for, which is, we always overestimate the impact of things in the short run and tend to underestimate their impact in the long run. And I think that's probably clearly true for digital health. I think as people thought about how impactful it could be, that was sort of without respect to how long it would take to get into the system, how hard it is to change healthcare. But I'm very optimistic that we're starting to see some tremendous impacts, and that will only accelerate. I think the reason we haven't seen them is it took a while to understand how to use digital tools to connect to people, to figure out what they wanted, and that was a precursor then figuring out how you integrate that into the systems of care. But I'd be very surprised if most of our listeners today haven't interacted with the digital tool around their health, whether that comes as something they chose themselves as a consumer on an app store or came from their health plan or their provider. And so I think we're late in the game on digital health, maybe as an industry, but actually very early in terms of its pervasiveness into what we think of as the healthcare sector.
And is patient engagement the same as self-management?
I don't think they're the same. I think self-management is a part of patient engagement. I think of self-management as the state or the practices of an individual to figure out how their health fits into their life and to take the behaviors and to bring that to the relationships they have and the roles they have so that they're actively deciding what matters to them and moving it forward. And that's a critical part of engagement. But I think often patient engagement as a concept includes clinical management and would talk about, you know, sort of the patient connection to their clinical therapies, whether they're on particular medications or devices or procedures. And so those coupling of the clinical engagement or clinical therapy engagement with self-management, I think, is what we mean by patient engagement.
And so in marketing parlance, we talk about push versus pull. And it sounds like the system today is focused on push. And perhaps we need a little bit more pull in that regard. Is that what we're talking about in terms of self-management?
I think it's a big part of it. I think you're right that the system has historically and still is very focused on pushing things out. I'm the son of a physician who himself was the son of a physician, and so maybe this is a bit urban legend, but supposedly when my grandfather would see patients who were diagnosed with cancer, it was common to not even tell them that they had cancer. And so there was a state where you wouldn't even push the information out if you could go that far. We've evolved certainly beyond that, but the world, a lot of healthcare still thinks now, okay, here's your instructions or your order set. And so it is a push to you of what to do. We're coming around to this idea that an engaged individual at the center of that journey, deciding what even therapies he or she may want in the context of great clinical care, and certainly directing how their health is fitting into the rest of their life, is the most important way that we can make people healthier, happier, and drive value in the system. That will require this shift from pushing them data to getting them activated enough where they're pulling down the things that matter and they're pulling the information and the support so that they can do what they need to do.
And how does payment reform, the shift from fee-for-service to value, alter the importance of patient engagement and self-management to payers and providers?
So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a health economist by training, so this is a topic near and dear to my heart. And I think first, if we take a narrow definition of value, and let's say by value we mean very precisely, how do you get equal quality or better quality at lower cost? I think patient engagement is critical to that in the sense that so much of the outcomes and so much of the costs in the system are improved by the individual's behavior and getting them to understand and internalize and direct their own care and their own approach has been shown over and over again to prevent ER visits, to reduce length of hospital stays, as someone is sort of directing. So even in the narrow sense of value, it's absolutely critical. But I think what we're all aspiring towards is this broader sense of value that is not just measured in dollars and cents, not just measured on sort of physiological health measures, but where value really is determined in some sense by the consumer. And it almost becomes sort of definitional then that if the individual isn't engaged and directing what they want, you aren't even moving a system towards value. So I think in that narrow sense of just dollars and cents for quality, it's critically important. But in the health system we all want, which is driving towards the things that our consumers, we often call them patients or maybe health plan members, where they're directing what they want, value is almost synonymous then with engagement.
And lastly, as an expert in diabetes, what is it that we're missing? You know, 35 to 40% have metabolic syndrome. We have an enormous number of folks with diabetes, and it seems to get worse and worse. What are we missing? We've spent billions on this, and we're still not making the progress that we really should be making. And what is it that you suggest we do differently?
Obesity, diabetes is a really tricky problem that is sort of the next frontier for healthcare. And what I mean by that, if you think of sort of the first wave of healthcare, you know, we were talking about, you know, hygiene related issues. We were talking about fixing sanitation. You know, maybe you put penicillin in that. So you know, you're dealing with sort of communicable diseases. The second wave was the incredible advent of technology and medication to begin to treat, you know, chronic conditions, to cure things that we couldn't cure in the past. And now we're luckily to the point as a society where we're now dealing with conditions and diseases that are this interaction between our genes and our environments in a way that are much more complicated. So we live in an environment where often it's cheaper and easier and certainly genetically more desirable to have bad food than it is to have healthy food. You know, these are the kinds of things that are the reality of sort of where we live. And then you couple that with diabetes is a condition where the behaviors that make it worse are not binary. The classic example a lot of people refer to in behavior changes around smoking, and we still have a lot of work to do there, but I think it's a great case of the progress we've made. That's a binary decision. You can choose to smoke or not, whereas you can't choose to eat or not. It's about sort of how you do that. And so this recognition that all of this is interacting, that it's a multigenomic, it's an environmental, it's a societal problem, takes work at a lot of levels. And then I think at the consumer level, it's something that you got to work on forever. It doesn't go away. It's across your entire life. And so I think what we need to do as a healthcare system is continue to innovate in the clinical therapies, but recognize that, you know, as you said, we spend billions of dollars in clinical therapies without, on average, improving the outcomes. And often that's because we haven't spent the equal amount of time and energy around patient engagement and self-management that helps someone understand what matters to them and why they'd make the right choices, why they'd engage with these clinical therapies in the first place.
Adam, I want to thank you. Very, very helpful. I mean, it's good to hear the optimism in your voice going forward. Obviously, digital health, payment reform, lots of changes going forward. And hopefully that bodes well for the American consumer.
Real pleasure. Thank you, David.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.